Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Many of you probably have it memorized. Maybe have it on a shirt. Very familiar verse. Paul writes this to the church in Philippi. He's writing about himself. He says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Jesus, I ask that as we look at that simple verse, Father, and I pray that You would show us Your grace, that You would show us what it is to live as Your people in the midst of a new year, in the midst of struggle and difficulty, in the midst of triumph and things going well. God, what is it to see Your strength at work in us? Father, challenge us, especially if our thinking may be different than what Your Word is speaking to. God, by Your Spirit, I pray that You would move in us, knowing that Your Word does not return to You void or empty, but it accomplishes everything that You desire it to do. And Father, we just thank You for that and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2012, this is going to be the year. This is it. It's finally going to be the year that everything changes, right? The year that I accomplish what I set out to do, I'm going to be very disciplined. I'm going to be meticulous. I'm going to be tenacious. I am going after what I want to do this year. I'm a new man. Okay, that book list that has been growing, I'm going to read them all. The list of people I want to have over, and probably every name in this room is on a sticky note in our house somewhere. You're going to come over this year. The conditioning that I want to be in, that I want to be in shape. All right, we're going to go after that. All those things, they don't stand a chance because I declare that I am here to conquer this year. That might be some of us in this room. Then there's the other of us in this room. That might not suit you very well. Might be saying, I tried all that. Failed miserably for about 20 years. I'm done with thinking about those new things. It ain't going to work anyway. I'll never read those books. I'll never lose those pounds. I'll never get in shape like I want to. I'll never finish what I start. So why even begin? Why even try? And those are probably the two most common perspectives on New Year's Day, right? The I'm going to conquer this thing and the I've already given up place. And there's a couple of things in the middle, but those are your two common things. And I find myself, as I kind of think through those, I find myself asking, where did 2011 go? Where did that year go? Now look, and so many things left undone, so many good goals that were set that have not been reached. Or maybe even not even the first step of progress made towards any of those goals. So in a sense, I love this time of year and I despise it. I love the hope of a new start and I despise it at the same time because it's just kind of almost setting yourself up for failure. Here's the problem. Just because the calendar has flipped and now I have a new assessment period, that doesn't change me and that doesn't change you. It feels new, but we quickly realize that, all right, just because we don't feel like we're behind yet, nothing's really different. And so what are we to do? How do we chart a course for change? How do we see resolutions or desires, good things that we really desire to see? How do we see those things become reality? We're going to look at verse 13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And the first thing, when you quote that verse in that context, here's the trap. The trap of the self-help Jesus. How many times have you heard this verse quoted? For me, tons. And it usually centers around facing some kind of insurmountable hurdle or task, or some kind of situation in life that just can't be overcome, right? Something so big that you can't possibly accomplish it on your own. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So given that type of situation and quoting the verse in that context, what are we implying with that quote, using that verse in that context? That I'm facing this situation and I can face it with the strength that I have in Christ. Therefore, I can make this situation work out well. I can overcome the obstacle through Christ. I can meet this deadline through Christ. And what does Jesus become in that scenario? He becomes the big guy that helps me when I can't do something. I want you to go back to the late 80s and think about Princess Bride. Kids, if you want to understand your parents' humor, watch that movie. Go back to Princess Bride. Okay, that type of thinking that Jesus is the big guy to help me is kind of like making Jesus into Andre the Giant in that movie. Right? Remember the little guy? The guy, inconceivable, that guy? And he has Andre the Giant as his guy along with him. And so the inconceivable guy, you know, when he needs something done, what does he do? He turns to Andre the Giant and tells Andre the Giant to go either, you know, pick somebody up or move this rock or do something like that. So what is the relationship of the inconceivable guy to Andre the Giant? The little guy's calling the shots. The little guy's in charge. Andre the Giant is merely there to do what he was told. So who's Jesus to you? Is he the self-help Jesus? Is he your, excuse the metaphor, your Andre the Giant? Is he there just so that you can accomplish what you desire and make things happen according to the way that you want them arranged? Is that Jesus's job? Is that his mission? Is that what he's about in this world? Or is he about something much deeper and much greater? Lynn and I have been having this conversation for probably about 3 or 4 months, just phrasing and talking about the idea of knowing God so that, and you can fill in the blank. And I've kind of termed it the deadly so that. That when we understand Jesus as in terms of the self-help Jesus, it really does lead us to this deadly so that. That I do something so that my life will work out. I follow God so that He will help me. I go to church so that my kids will grow up into responsible adults. I, whatever, so that. I love God so that. And what becomes the object of your worship? It's not Jesus anymore. It's the so that. That becomes the object of your worship when Jesus is merely your Andre the Giant. And why do I say it's deadly? Because it's deadly to your faith. It's deadly to your love for God because your goal has superseded Him. The deadly so that. The so that has snuffed out your love for God. So when we come to a verse like this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, we have to be aware of the trap of the self-help Jesus, the deadly so that every one of us in this room is prone to. Guilty. So what is Paul really after when we start talking about verses like this, when we start really desiring things to change, things to really resolve in our lives, is really not just the trap of the self of Jesus, but really the power of knowing Christ. It's almost as if we need a different type of resolution. That we would actually have a better outcome on our heart than life working out and being suited to the way that we have arranged it. And so I want you to flip back one chapter in the book of Philippians. Go back one chapter to chapter 3. So Paul's going through all the great things that he's accomplished in life. And he's going through all those accomplishments and all this stuff. And he says that they are utterly worthless. And then he goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 8, he says this. He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He just ran through every accomplishment in his life. And he said those are worthless compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And then he goes on to verse 10. What's he want to know? You know, he wants to know the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. In verse 10, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection." And so that word for power is really the same root word of Philippians 4:13. One is kind of strengthening someone. One is kind of like sheer and raw power. But it's the same root word, that we would be strengthened by the power of Christ. And so what is the power of Christ? Is the power of the resurrection. That He was once dead and He rose again and conquered the grave. He conquers sin and death. But he goes on, I want to know Christ and the power of resurrection. And there's a beautiful word, and. And you're not going to like what you read after the and. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Huh. Happy New Year. Now we're getting somewhere. Now that doesn't feel like my typical resolution, right? Could it be that our highest and best might more readily come through suffering and hardship and loss? Come through suffering, hardship, and loss rather than us accomplishing what we want with God's help tacked on. Could that possibly be highest and best for us as God's people? So why do we know Christ in suffering? Why does he want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings becoming like him in death? Why do we know Christ? How do we know Christ in the midst of suffering? That when we walk through suffering and loss, we see the beauty of redemption. And here's the picture. Is remember, we've gone through the story of redemption over the last couple months. That redemption is part of God's... redemption is the part of God that we most want to avoid. And here's how it is. God creates beautifully. Everything is good. And then the fall comes in. The fall of man. The rebellion of man. And everything starts to break. We walk away from our God. We do all these different things. In walks death and cancer and loss and suffering and strange relationships. All these things of the brokenness of the fall. And then God comes and redeems, right? He comes in the person of Jesus to bring about redemption. But most of us live this path. We know God created good. This world is meant to be right. We experience the brokenness of the fall. And instead of walking towards redemption, we almost want to go backwards this way. And just reset the clock as if the brokenness and the fall and the experience of loss and all these things hasn't happened. Isn't that really the movement that we really want to go through? Just set it all right again. But is that the pathway of knowing Christ? Not at all. Because where did Jesus go? Creation, fall, he went to redemption. And when we just want to reset the clock, just make it right, just as if it didn't even happen, didn't break, and everything will be right and cozy and fine. When we do that, when we want to just reset things, we miss Christ as the suffering servant. We miss the God who suffers in order to bring about our redemption. Who understands grace in a marriage like an unfaithful spouse being welcomed back into a marriage covenant? That grace in the redemption of a marriage, that person understands the redemption that is theirs. So to desire restoration from Jesus without redemption is to miss an entire aspect of the love of God shown in his grace. To know Christ is to know him through redemption. And where did that lead Jesus? It led him into the midst of suffering and ultimately to death. Maybe saying, all right, how was that fun? How was that going to be enlivening to 2012? It's that we will find life when we give it away. That we follow after Jesus into the path of redemption. Rather than just pretend as if the fall doesn't exist, we just set things right and just pretend like they're okay. That when we walk towards the things of redemption, we will actually know the power of the resurrection, that things that are dead can then become alive again. And we can see the life of Christ become real. I think that's the point of Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ. And why do I say that? Because the context. Go back there. Go to 11 and 12 of chapter 4. Just remember, no verse can stand by itself. It's always in context. And so what does 11 and 12 lead 13 to mean? So he's talking about himself being provided by gifts of the Philippians. He says, I am not saying this. He's thanking them. I'm not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Whatever the circumstance, I can trust God in it. How? Because He is the one that's giving you the power to live where He has you. He is the one strengthening to have you live there. This verse is more about being willing to live in the moment rather than overcoming by God's help. I can live lacking of provision. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can live with every need being met. Why? Because I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can endure the loss of a loved one. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ. I can live when life is good and when life is falling apart. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ. One of the schools back in Tampa, it was a Christian school, and I was walking around the gym there, and the basketball team had these shirts on. And on the back, it was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I started to laugh, because no coach in their right mind would want that on their team's T-shirt. And if you put that, I apologize. Because in context, what does that say? Whether we win every game or we go absolutely winless, I'm good with that because I can endure that and live there because I can do all things through Christ. I am content with where God has me. Coaches put that on because we're going to win every game because we can do everything through Christ. That's not what this verse is talking about. It's living a life of faith and trusting God in His goodness for us, His provision according to His wisdom and His sovereign hand. We trust it. We might wish it were different, no doubt about it. But we can walk this path because God has led us there. And He strengthens us in it and for it. Power of knowing Christ. And when we get that, then we get this beauty of knowing that we are involved in God's purpose. Because you might say, okay, God's got it all and He's going to do what He's going to do. And I'll just kind of, I don't matter in this equation. That's not true at all. Should we plan? Should we plan and make goals and desires and set a course for 2012? Absolutely. Let's kind of just do a quick survey of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to trip over Bill's verse that he just quoted. Love when God does that. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So what's God saying? You're going to do something? Plan for it. And actually ask wisdom about it. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Okay. Great. Don't miss the next part. What's God's role in bringing about our plans? This is the verse Bill referenced earlier. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so there's this idea that we are truly planning and seeking counsel and wisdom, but yet God's purpose overrides and overarches ours. He's using all of those things to bring about His purpose. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. There have been many thoughts that I've had that I'm really glad God didn't answer. And then there's times at which I'm like, God, that seemed like a pretty good idea. I plan my course. I seek godly counsel. I seek His word. But yet I understand and trust the heart of God that He is determining my steps. And even when that doesn't match our desire for life, what are we called to? We are called to faith. We are called to trust. You might be thinking right now, you are in the midst of a situation that there is no way that you can trust God in such horrible circumstances. Let me remind you of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.